It's easy for us to become sidetracked from our main purpose in life. I'm reminded of a story I read about a man who was in a modern museum of art, and all around him were great works of art, and he was nevertheless standing, peering through a small crack in some portable walls that had been erected. What he was watching was the workmen who were preparing a portion of the museum for some new displays. Now, he had come to the gallery to see the great works of art that were on display in the best of lighting and under just the right kind of displays, but he was sidetracked by the noise, and then his curiosity got him peering through the crack, watching the workmen as they worked. You know, a lot of times that can happen to us. God has a purpose for us, and we're to be taken up with that purpose and not allow ourselves to get sidetracked with some, but nevertheless may be attention getting, but distractions. And so what I'm going to start looking at tonight, and I'd like Randy and Zane here, if you guys would come and pass these papers out. There should be enough for each one who can read that wants one. Why does Black Creek Baptist Church exist? There are many things that a church does and can do, but a church must not lose focus of God's purpose. There's many things that a church is involved in. Yes, extras over on the table, thank you. there's many things that we do. Some are more important than others. Some help to achieve the purpose that a church exists. And when I say why Black Creek Baptist Church exists, this would be true of any Bible-believing, Bible-living, Bible-standing, in other words, a true church the way the Bible would describe it. These things could be said of any church. But we're not in any church, we're in this church. And so that's why the heading on the sheet is why Black Creek Baptist Church exists. In Exodus 9 and verse 16 there, we have the scripture, "For this cause have I raised thee up," spoken to Moses, in the purpose that God had to lead his people out and to then create a nation from them. Psalm 70 and verse 4 is one of my favorite psalms, and I'm going to turn to it in order to read the whole psalm. Psalm 70 and verse 4. Now there's another scripture that talks about magnifying God, but this is the one that we're using tonight. "Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified." And if God is going to be magnified, we obviously have to be living the kind of Christian life that is pleasing to him, and handling life situations in such a way as God can be magnified through us. You know, I'm afraid there's many times too many of us are satisfied with knowing that we're going to heaven.
That's right. Yep.
And I'm not going to end up in jail. Dale won't have to come visit me. And I don't expect I'm going to have anybody knock on my door, come repossessing my vehicles. And you know, and so, yeah, I'm in pretty good shape. I'm satisfied. You know, God's never going to be magnified through us.
That's right.
When we're satisfied with that kind of living.
Yes, sir.
When we're satisfied with the minimum. When we're satisfied with just what everybody else gets by with. In order for God to be magnified, we have got to be consecrated to Him. Now, he says here, let all those that seek thee rejoice. I wonder if the reason why a lot of Christians are not happy is because they're not seeking the Lord. He says, let all those that seek thee rejoice. They're not rejoicing. Can I make a reasoning circle there that it could be that they're not seeking him? That's why they're not very happy. Let all those that seek him rejoice. And I know it says seek thee, and I said him. That's not changing the scripture,
right.
Okay?
Exactly.
I'm reading it, okay? I'm not quoting it in that sense. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Happy in the Lord. Happy in the Lord. Why is it that even Christians, and I'm not pleased, I'm not intending this to be in an accusatory manner. When I say Christians, I am speaking of the broad spectrum of it. But why is it that so many Christians seem to be more glad about things that affect the earthly life than the spiritual? And let such as love thy salvation. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. Maybe him being magnified isn't as important to some Christians because they don't love the salvation they have that much. They got themselves a ticket out of hell, and that's about all that they're concerned with. And so they're not, salvation is just something that they got along the way. You know, you really have to wonder about the salvation of some folks. Man, you know, I know we shouldn't be judgmental, and that's up to God. But boy, when you start lining things up by scripture, it sure does make me wonder. And so, let God be magnified. Like I said, there's many things that we do in the church. And anything we do in the church should meet one of these three purposes. Okay? These are so basic. If there's anything we're doing in the church and it's not able to meet one of these three purposes, then we don't need to be doing it.
Amen.
We can let the Legion do it. Okay? We don't have to do it. As a church, we've got, you know, the Legion isn't going to hold worship services. And the veterans groups, okay, I mean, we get the Legion, and what's the other one? What's the other big one? AMVETS, yeah.
VFW.
Who?
VFW,
that's the one I was thinking of. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, you know, what are their purposes? Their purposes are for veterans. And that's good. I'm not criticizing and I'm not bad-mouthing it. But you can't go down there and expect to hear them have a Bible memory program. Huh? You can't go there and expect them to serve communion. Why? That's not their purpose. So the church has its purposes. And when we're doing things then that don't meet that purpose. Now, listen, I wasn't born yesterday. Not even this morning. And I realized that almost anything that a group wants to do, they can pretty soon explain it and stick it under one of these three. Okay? What came to my mind was there's churches, now not bingo, okay? You can't put bingo under any of them. Forget that. But I know a situation where the church was challenged to have a ladies' exercise group. Okay? Now, exercise is good. And people, I wasn't going to say ladies. Okay. I'm not that dumb. People need to exercise. And it can be beneficial. And the emphasis was supposed to be that it would give the people who attended an opportunity to fellowship. Okay? No, the purpose was exercise, and nobody's home was big enough to host it, so let's use the church. Well, that makes sense. No, it doesn't make sense. Okay? Because the purpose of the church, I mean, now let them get together and exercise. Let them go find some public room somewhere. Libraries often have a room you can use, and groups can meet in. Okay? And so there's places where they can get together and they can exercise. He said, well, you're being a little critical, those particular ladies. What if they wanted to get together and have a crocheting class? You probably wouldn't be as upset. No, I probably wouldn't be, but the same problem would exist. Yeah, but they're going to have such good fellowship. Yeah, but before they wanted to crochet together, and before they wanted to exercise together, or anything else of that sort, before they wanted to do it together, did they worry about fellowship? Did you hear them talking about, we got to get together and have some fellowship.
Amen.
We're just not spending enough time together as ladies. We really ought to be visiting with each other a whole lot more. You know, I do understand that there's a lot of things you can do, and you can force it underneath one of these. Okay, just like there's, what is that scripture? I cannot think of it. I wish I could think of it. It's a Bible verse that you can cause that to fit most anything you want. Boy, I wish I could think of it. Anyway, let's move along. Waiting on my memories like waiting for Christmas in February. All right, so the first one on your sheet is to exalt the Savior. That's what we're here for, to exalt the Savior. I'm just picturing such exercise classes. Trying to figure out how I would exalt the Savior. Too graphic. Yeah, the bond agents. What a grasp of the scriptures.
Well, sir, we would be our temples.
What's this?
Yeah,
that would be good. Go help it somewhere else. you know, and that's it. You just like in the situation that I'm thinking of, when that never materialized in the church, all the great big concern about fellowship and exercise ended. They couldn't use the church. And so no longer were they concerned about fellowship. No longer did they have to get together and improve things. I pulled out some scriptures regarding exalting the Savior. Well, the first one there is Ephesians 3:21. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Unto him be glory in the church. I pulled out some scriptures. Let me read them to you here. Psalm 22 and verse 23 says, we are to glorify God by praise. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all ye seed of Israel. Glorify God by praising and fearing him. And then glorify God by good works. The familiar scripture of Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Our good works, our good living is to glorify him, exalting the Savior. And then by fruit bearing, John 15 and verse 8 makes it real clear. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So we exalt the Savior by glorifying him in our own living in a way that produces fruit. That means produces good works, good living, encouragement to others, benefit to others. And then glorify God by spiritual unity. Romans 15:6, that ye may be with one mind and one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we to be one mind and one mouth. One mind means we think alike. And one mouth means that we don't talk and back and forth and argue, and one says one thing, another says another thing. One mind, one mouth, glorify God. The dissension that comes in churches doesn't glorify God. And then lastly, 1 Corinthians 6:20. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Our whole being should glorify God. We need to exalt the Savior, and that needs to be one of the purposes that we have in the church. I knew of a church one time that whenever they did something, they would sit down, evaluate that thing, examine it, and see which one of these three that would specifically accomplish, not loosely or routinely, in the sense that you could slot anything under one of the three, but they had to know that this was specifically going to achieve it, how it was going to achieve it, what the ramifications of that particular program or event was going to have in accomplishing one of those three purposes. In other words, they didn't just have these. I knew of another church that had these posted on the wall. And they too, like the one I just referred to, they would sit down with things when they were going to start. And something they had for a long time, they'd sit down. But I mean, they was leadership, okay? Whether it be whatever, you know, I don't remember those two churches I'm referring to. I don't remember what their organizational structure was, if it was deacons, if it was trustees, if it was all elders, but they would look at their things and say, now, are the things that we've been doing, just because we've been doing them, how do they accomplish this?
Good.
Do they still accomplish what it did when we started it? So they were having real purpose to some things. Now that takes work. That takes time. And there were some things in the one church that they stopped doing. Okay? Because they the things no longer accomplished one of these three.
Amen.
Significantly enough. Loosely, lightly, yeah. But not to the level that they felt something ought to be, have a purpose. My lands, once you get something started in an organization, the only way you stop it is if it dies. But I know more than one time something that, a term that I used when I would stop something and I would say something to the effect, it served its purpose. It's outlived its life.
Yep.
Okay? And so we don't need to do that. And
good.
It keeps things fresh. Keeps things meaningful. We're in a really, really old building. Very nice building. Can you imagine if we did things exactly the way they were done 80, 90 years ago? Yeah, things change. And things need to change with it. Do you do things exactly the way your parents did them? Huh? No, not usually. Not usually. And so we need to exalt the Savior. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Well, we're going to go to the second one, to edify the saint. And we'll look into that one next week. And we're going to see how body life is involved with that. And so we'll look to that. Okay.